Evangelism, care. CSIC loves people, all people. Hashtag love win, build city. Check us out on Facebook at Carpenter Shop International Church or on YouTube at CSIC Media. Or join us in person on Sundays at 10 a.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How's everybody today? Y'all know when I'm on my way to church, I'm gonna tell y'all this, but I get feeling kind of nervous inside on the way up here. But when I walk in that door and get up here, I can't tell y'all. I just get so excited. I don't know what it is. I want to bounce off the walls. I want to do backflips and all kinds of stuff. And I think it's just the energy that you guys walk in here with, that y'all are ready for a blessing. Y'all come in here like knowing that God's gonna touch somebody in here today, and we all just feel that, and it uplifts us. We're up here trying to uplift you guys. It makes us feel so good. I know, we talked about this song before. I think about, there's a big mountain in Pennsylvania that you got to drive through. They dug a hole through it, and it's like, it would have been, in our minds, it's a lot of work, right? Like, it would have been so much easier just to go around. But somehow or some way, they made a way through it. What if you could just tell that mountain, just get out of my way? You don't have to do all that work. God can push it right out of your way.
Why would I worry? Giants come calling my name. My God is so much bigger than troubles I
too big, no weapon too strong. There is nothing There's no problem too big, nowhere valley too low. There's no fear that I have, he doesn't already know. There's no problem too big, no weapon too strong. There's nothing for God impossible. So I speak to the mountain. It's time to move. 'Cause my God is bigger. The situation looks heavy, but my God is bigger. I don't know when it's gonna end, but my God is bigger. My God is bigger, better, stronger, greater than you. Church, do we really believe that this morning? And because we serve a God that is bigger, that is better, that is greater, so much stronger, we can trust that he is more than able. Anybody believe that this morning? That God is really able to do anything? Thank you, Jesus.
When did I start to forget all of the great things you did? When did I throw away faith for the impossible? Yeah. And how did I start to believe that you weren't sufficient for me? And why do I talk myself out of seeing miracles?
Can we lift this up, church?
Sing, you are more than able. You are more than able. You are more than able, Lord. Yes, you are. You are more.
deny what he does, but I feel that some of us, if we're honest, we don't always believe what the Lord has said. We don't always believe that he can actually do anything. We don't believe that he can heal our bodies. We don't believe that he can mend our broken hearts. We don't truly believe that because we're so focused on what our current situation looks like. You know, in the Bible, we see so many places where the Lord made a promise to someone. And sometimes they might not have been there to witness it, right? There were some times where generations passed before a promise was fulfilled. And I know that sounds discouraging, right? That sounds like something I should be defeated about. But the joy I find is that if God makes me a promise, that means everybody and everything that is connected to me will receive that promise. And so, and why that's important is because there's a part in the song that says, can you imagine with all the faith in the room what the Lord can do? I can only imagine what would happen if instead of me just being so focused on me all the time, if I just believe for the person beside me, if I just believe for the person in front of me. So listen, do me a favor. I want you to touch someone close to you. It doesn't have to be someone that's too far or too close, but I want you to just begin to pray. Pray in whatever that looks like for you. If that looks like lifting up your heavenly language to Jesus, if it looks like speaking over them, if it looks like singing over them, because only God knows what could happen if you joined your faith with the person beside you. I am a living testament that where two or three are gathered together, God promised to be in the midst. And I don't know about anybody else, but I believe that since we're gathered, he's in the midst. Since we're gathered, he's here to heal. Since we're gathered, he's here to deliver. Since we're gathered, he's here. 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 And so whatever that looks like, whatever that looks like, even if you don't know their story, begin to believe God for whatever it is.
Can you imagine with all of the faith in the room what the Lord can do? And guess what? It's gonna happen. Just let the way make it through. He's gonna move. But can you imagine with all of the faith in the room? It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen.
Whatever it is, whatever it is, listen, it's gonna happen because he promised you. Because he promised you. And he can't go void on promises. So since he promised me, it's gonna happen.
It's gonna happen. Seen how you work. Woo. There's so much goodness and grace,
yeah,
that I do not deserve, cause I know who I am, and I can't stay where I'm at, cause we've come this far by faith. And I just can't turn back. He's not done with me. He's not done with me yet. There's so much more to the story. Oh, you're not done with me yet. He's not done with me. There's so much more to the story. You're not done with me. He's not done with me. Since he began a work in you, he's gonna feel it. He's gonna feel it. There's so much.
Till the promise is fulfilled. He's not done. Woo. There's so much more. I know it may not look like much, but he's not done with you yet. Cause little is made much when it's placed in the master's hands. He's not done with you yet.
There's so much more to your story. You're not done with
me. Can we lift that up together to our Father?
Sing, he's not done with me yet.
Yeah.
He's not done with me yet. Sing, there's so much more to the story.
One more time.
He's not done with you. He's still working. He's still working. You're not done with me. He's not done with me yet. He's not done with me yet. There's so much more to the story.
Come on, let's just go a little bit deeper. If you believe God's not done with you, just close your eyes, lift your hands, and begin to ask him to do that thing that you're believing for, that promise that he's given you. The Holy Spirit is here this morning, and he's moving all over this room. He's here to touch us, to minister to us, even as we lift up our praise and our worship to him. They used to say, the praises go up and the blessings come down. And so as we minister to the Lord this morning, let him minister to you. Come on, let's just sing that again. Come on, just sing it softly, and let the Lord minister. Jesus. He's not done with us. Faith rising. So God, we just thank you today for the miracles that you are going to perform. Lord, we thank you for the ways that you're moving in our lives and the ways that you're going to move. We thank you for all that you're going to do. God, we set our faith on what is ahead, on what is to come. Lord, we thank you that as we set our eyes on you, that you will make our path straight, that you will raise up the low places, God, that you will move the mountains, and that you will make the crooked places straight, Father. We believe it, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said, amen. Come on, give God a big hand of praise. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just lift up one more shout unto God, the King who is worthy. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise be to your your holy name. Worthy, worthy, worthy are you, Lord. In the mighty, matchless, powerful name of Jesus, we declare that you are good and you are God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated in God's house. Such a joy to be with you. Such a joy to worship with you. Are you glad to be in the house of God today? Amen. If this is your first time with us, we want to welcome you to Carpenter Shop International Church. After the service, you can meet us in the foyer at the Welcome Center. We have a special gift for you, and we want to give you a personal welcome to our church. And if you're tuning in online or on television, thank you so much for joining us. We're glad that you've chosen to worship with us today. At this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. Are you excited to give today? Are you excited to return to the Lord all that He's blessed us with? There are several ways to give. The easiest way to give is by using the QR code on the screen. There are several other ways as well. If you're writing a check, please include your email in the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt. As the worship team comes back to lead us in worship, you can make your way forward to drop your offering in the buckets. God bless you as you give.
It reminds me of a story in the Bible of Solomon when he asked God. God asked him if he could have anything, what would it be? And he said, wisdom. So you know me, I'm very transparent. So I go to my kids and ask my children, if you could have anything, what would it be? And when I told them that Solomon said wisdom, they didn't understand why. Solomon asked for wisdom so he can know how to use the things. So he will have knowledge of if he gets money, he'll know how to use his money. If he gets a wife, he'll know how to use a wife, treat a wife. God, I pray for that for everybody here today, everybody watching today, that you can give us wisdom, godly wisdom.
Thank you.
God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for wisdom. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, today is Pastor Appreciation Sunday. Are you thankful for the pastors and leaders that serve at Carpenter Shop International Church? I'm going to ask the elders to come forward at this time, and they have a special presentation that they want to make to Pastors Wallace and Joy. So, Julie, if you're in the house, elders, you guys come on forward. I'm going to ask Pastor Wallace and Joy, come on up to the pulpit. There's a team that surrounds our leaders. You know, none of us can do it by ourselves. You can't do anything by yourself, and we can't do anything by ourselves. We need each other. We need a team. And this team of elders surrounds our senior leaders. They pray for him, for them. They encourage them. And so I'm thankful for all of you guys as well. So, Julie, I'm going to let you say a few words.
We're missing a few elders. I see Jack is on his way, and Denise is still back there, and Wesley is having ankle surgery today. So if we can keep him in prayer, and his wife, Dorothy, of course, is there. So, Pastor, I wanted to present this to you. To our pastor, Wallace Phillips, in infinite wisdom, the Lord surely knew that we would need a pastor as faithful as you. A love of God's word and a heart for his flock. You give of yourself and you stand on the rock. We appreciate you. And thank you, Pastor Joy, for being his encourager in the dark times, in the happy times, and the times that we don't know about. Thank you.
You guys stay right there. Don't move. We're going to pray for Pastor Wallace and Joy in just a minute here. But I just want to say, Pastor Wallace and Joy, thank you so much for the way that you've served this church for 32 years. That's an amazing feat, isn't it? You can't say that about every pastor or every church. And we are so blessed to have this, to have them here. Come on. Let's just give them another hand. Let's thank God for the blessing. The blessing of stability, the blessing of strength that you bring to this house, the love and the care that you give to our congregation. You know, many of us, we've had a moment where we've needed leadership, we've needed counsel. I'm sure you've gotten many a late night phone call. There's been many an early morning where you've gone to the hospital before a surgery. There's all kinds of things that Pastors Wallace and Joy have done out of their generosity and out of the kindness of their heart. And so let's just pray for them. And we have a special gift. We want to present this to you. Thank you so much for the way that you serve. Come on, let's just lay hands on this couple. Elders, would you join me? And let's stand. Let's extend our hands toward Pastors Wallace and Joy and just speak a blessing over them. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for leaders who you've placed here. God, that the Bible says that you gave gifts to the church. You gave apostles, pastors, evangelists, prophets, teachers. And so we thank you for the gift that you've given to Carpenter Shop International Church. Father, we thank you for the gifts that you've given to this region and to this community, Lord. We thank you. God, we give you praise, and we ask that you would continue to speak to Pastors Wallace and Joy. Give them wisdom for the road ahead. God, give them wisdom in leadership, God, to make the right decisions, to hear your voice clearly, and to lead firmly, God, with faith and confidence that they are walking in the path that you've laid out. Father, we ask that you would fill them afresh with peace and joy, love and righteousness in the Holy Spirit, fresh passion and zeal for the calling that you've placed on their lives. And Lord, we thank you for it, and we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, let's give them one more big hand of praise. Thank you, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, give it up for our elders as well, would you? Amen. Pastor. Praise God. Pray also, one of our elders is missing today as he is in surgery right now, Wesley. all about the business of the kingdom every Sunday here. And throughout the week, he keeps our grounds in good condition. And we had a long weekend. We had a lot of extra things going on. In fact, you know, those things come in bunches like bananas, you know. We had, I think in the last 10 days to a couple of weeks, we've had 3 funerals and 2 weddings. And just a lot of things happening. And yesterday we had a beautiful wedding as Woody and Jamie got married yesterday. Come on, congratulations to them. And we were finishing up there last night and got in the truck and said, wow, home. We can go home now. Let's head on home. And we were driving home and got about a third of the way. And Joy said, hey, you got to turn around. I said, why? You got to go to the hospital. I said, okay, we got to turn around and go to the hospital. Because we had said, hey, got a wedding today, but when the wedding's over, we're coming to the hospital to see you, Wesley. So we got there last night, I don't know, 9 o'clock or so. And Wesley's laying back in the bed waiting for surgery. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for Dr. Larrabee today, a gifted orthopedic surgeon. Lord, I pray that you'd guide his hands, God, as even now the tools are probably moving. And I pray that you would just be with he and Dorothy today, Lord, and their kids, Amisha and Patricia and Charles, Miles, God. Just be with all of them as they gather to console Wesley. And, Lord, I just thank you, God, for the success of that. You're a good God. You're a good God. You're a good God, and you're an awesome God, and we worship you, Lord. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let me tell you, there's behind every pastor, you know, there's an incredible pastor's wife. I'm telling you, she is many, many times, if you only knew the real story, you know, I can't believe Pastor Wallace just did. He called me, he texted me, because God has given me truly a helpmate that keeps me on the track of doing the right thing. Sometimes I'll be honest with you. Can I just be honest with you? Sometimes I didn't want to do the things that she said, hey, you need to go there. I said, okay, I'll go. So I show up and be looking like all that in a bag of chips, a big bag of chips, come on. And family size chip. And it's because you have a pastor's wife that knows how to keep the pastor on the right path. Come on, give it up for Pastor Joy, would you? She's a lot of fun. She's a lot of fun, and we'll have fun today. And usually, I remember this day every year. You just don't know, going down the road, opening little cards, and reading sentiments. You know, yeah, it's neat when there's money in there. That's great. Everybody likes money, right? But you know what the neater thing is? And some of them don't have money in them, and that's okay. The greater thing is reading the heart that was transferred to the page. Pastor, I just want to thank you. Those are the things. Amen. And so we give God praise and honor for allowing us to be here to serve. Pastor Joy just reminded me, when we came here, we weren't 32. Okay? So we've been here a long time. And I just thank God. Longer, that's right.
We've been anywhere.
We've been longer, man. And it's, you know, but it's been such a good journey. And here's the beautiful thing about it. I'm more excited about what God's doing today than I've ever been. I'm telling you, I'm excited when I see souls come to Jesus. I'm excited when I see people filled with the Holy Spirit, healed in their bodies, tears coming down your faces. I get excited seeing God do incredible things. And, you know, this morning we have a video we'll close out with today, and you'll see that the ministry of Carpenter Shop has been scattered all over the world. I love the way Pastor Noli addressed the congregation today, if you're watching on TV, because literally every day, Carpenter Shop is broadcast to 127 nations. Our service goes over and over and over every day. And you'll see this morning as we close the service out that even people have picked up our name and they're wearing Carpenter Shop church in Pakistan because they're so thankful for this church right here. Let me tell you, that's a God thing. That's a God thing. It's a God thing. And so we're grateful. And behind our leadership, naturally, elders stand with us and encourage us. And, you know, may think, well, I wonder what they do. I guess they get down to nitty-gritty business. No, it's all about encouragement and vision and supporting one another. And, you know, we would be lost, honestly, we would be lost without the gifting and the ability of Pastor Noli Hall. Pastor Noli, would you come to this platform and stand here with me? Come on, give it up for him, y'all. Praise God. We would be totally lost This guy, not only just taking care of this ministry here, but many times, you know, not too many weeks go by that he's not somewhere else depositing gifting and ability and anointing in another congregation, because that's who we are, sharing our gifts, sharing our abilities. I had a pastor to call me just last week, and he said, "Hey, somebody told me that you had an executive pastor." I said, "Yeah." He said, "I know nothing about that. Would you be willing to share him with me just for a couple of sessions? Let him sit down and tell us what he does, and maybe even consider helping us to, you know, to start down that journey." And I just said, without asking Pastor Noli, "Absolutely, absolutely. I'd be glad to do that." Amen. Listen, you don't know it. A lot of times he gets on an airplane and he's gone, or he's running many miles down the road and investing in not only Anglo churches but Hispanic churches that are really, really dependent upon the gifting and ability that he has. Pastor Noli, I can't thank you enough for what you do. An incredible preacher and teacher, a musician in his own right, singer, worship leader, and a true friend. And I tell you, I thank God for Pastor Noli Hall. God bless you, my friend. Give it to him. Hallelujah. Stand right there. Stand right there. Absolutely, man. God bless you. I think when I came here, I think Noli was maybe 4 or 5 years old. And, you know, how many churches can say the executive pastor of the church was 5 years old when you got there, okay? But Tommy Barnett, Pastor Frank, is it true? Tommy Barnett said there's a miracle in the house. He said everything you need is right there with you. And so I'm going to bring some proof of that to you right now. And our next person is Pastors Miranda and Gary. Would you guys come? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. You know, you don't know what frustration is until you are challenged with having to handle 30, 40 volunteers, make sure all the T's are crossed and all the I's are dotted. And what an incredible team, a giftings and abilities that are just off the chart. We love you guys, man. We thank you for what you do. And just investing in leaders. And she's had the honor, because she's been here a number of years as well, of seeing some of those little tykes now grow up. And you know, she could probably tell you lots of stories about what they're doing now, where they're serving, and how they're going about life in the kingdom. Would you give it up for Pastor Miranda and Pastor Gary? God bless you guys. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you guys. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let me tell you something. After they finish with kids ministry, they make a step up, okay, and they go to another level of ministry, occupying front rows. You know, how many youth are just ready for the front row in churches today? To see them, I peeped over here today, and I saw tears flowing down the faces of these kids. And, you know, I'm excited because just a couple of weeks ago, I was standing here on the platform, and the Lord just went click up like that and just gave me a still shot. And I was like, "Lord, what was that about?" It's almost like I heard the click of a camera. And my vision froze. And I looked across this congregation. You know what I saw? I saw young. That's what I saw. I saw young people. Amen? Come on, punch your neighbor and say, "You ain't old, buddy." Come on. Come on, tell them. Come on, tell them. You're not old. I saw a lot of youth here. And I looked at our worship team this morning. We have a youthful worship team, y'all. It's amazing. It's amazing. And so God blessed us with the ability to have someone to work with those. Come on, his name's Corey. You can call him Corey. Everybody calls him Corey. Give it up for Corey, y'all. Amen. Incredible job. Incredible job. Doc, we appreciate you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, today I'm excited because missions has always been a valued piece in this house, but in the last season, it's been such a joy. You know, I used to run over here and try to meet with the missionary, you know, and get a few minutes with them before the meeting came. But God's blessed us with another pastor who somehow supernaturally, God took their ministry one day and said, "You know what? We're going to shift gears. You're not going to serve this church any longer. I'm going to have you serve the nations of the earth." And just almost overnight, God shifted Pastor Mike and Bonnie Blow supernaturally to do international ministry. Come on, y'all. The nations of the earth. And I remember the day he came to me and said, you know what? Bonnie and I have been praying. And as we bring a close to the local church and we concentrate on the mission that God's placed before us, we have to have a place of worship where we can not only worship but serve. Would you give it up for our missions pastor, Pastor Mike and Bonnie Blow? Come on, guys. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm excited because it won't be, you'll be able to just blink your eyes and it'll be here on February 5th. The church in Swaziland, the facility in Swaziland is already paid for. We've already paid the bill. It's over with. And 10 people from this congregation, come on, raise your hand, guys. 10 people from this congregation, look at that, are going to jump on the plane and go with him. And it'll be an incredible time, a new time for many of them. It'll be an incredible time to feel missions, to do missions, and to have the experience of going out of the borders of the U.S. into another country. Guys, we love you. We appreciate what you do for the kingdom's sake. And it's just incredible. Amen. You know, it's also incredible. I remember just, you know, I guess it's going on some 3 years now, seeing God just supernaturally arrest someone. And he arrested this man, and all of a sudden, I just began to watch, you know, God just, I mean, fill him up with the Holy Spirit. It began to flow out of him, and he would come to me, Pastor, what do I do next, man? I feel like God's calling me. Well, you need to go to get your courses, you know, get the schooling behind you. And he got the schooling behind him. And I'll tell you, no matter what's going on in this church, you show up, and you're going to see four hands. And those are the hands of Joel and Melissa Tapscott, rolling up their sleeves, doing anything and everything to make it successful. They're on the batter's box right now, just waiting for that opportunity to open up. And sometimes that's a long wait. Sometimes it's like, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? You want to push the door open. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like an eagle. And they shall run and not grow weary, and walk and not faint. Walking in the steps toward God's will sometimes is a challenging thing. But these guys are doing an incredible job fulfilling God's call. And right now, the call is to serve here at Carpenter Shop. Would you give it up for Joel and Melissa Tapscott? Come on, guys. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Many, many times during a week, I'll have text messages, phone calls from folk who just say, hey, Pastor, I want to just tell you I'm thinking about you today. Probably one of the most frequent ones that I receive is a message from a man who just says, hey, I just got a post-it note on my dashboard. Got a post-it note on my dashboard that says Pastor Wallace and Pastor Joy. And he said, sometimes the old post-it note will get worn out, and I'll take a fresh note and stick it right up there. Because he said, I don't want to forget my commitment to pray for you and to stand with you. And you know him as a preaching machine because you love to listen to him preach. Would you give it up for Pastor Bernie? Pastor Bernie and Miss Doris. Come on, guys. Come on to this platform. Hallelujah. There are a lot of churches. Some of you are saying, man, oh man. There are a lot of churches that would love to just have a pastor, a minister in the congregation to help them. And we have been extremely gifted to have people who can serve in that capacity. Not too long ago, my telephone rang, and there was a voice on the other end. There's a voice on the other end. He said, "Hey, I'm contacting the local Assemblies of God Church there in Ahoskie." He said, I wondered if we wanted to reach out to the resources of the local pastor and to help us here. I wondered if you could help us. We're looking for a good realtor. Okay, all right. I said, yeah, I know a realtor. You know, how can I help you? And much to his surprise, the pastor of the AG Church in Ahoskie is also a real estate agent. And so I had the pleasure on the phone that day of meeting this couple. That we have had no idea that it would turn out this way. But God has supernaturally positioned them. And they are Assemblies of God missionaries on assignment for revitalizing churches all across America. And God chose to position them right here at Carpenter Shop International Church of Hosky, North Carolina. Would you give it up for Frank and Brenda Adams? Come on, guys. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I was looking at our, kind of looking in the broader sense this morning on the way over here, and I thought, God, what an incredible team of people that you've put beside us and behind us to propagate the message of the kingdom and encourage us and lift up our hands, and elders and pastors and ministers, and that's just a beautiful thing. Not too many months ago, another couple came to Carpenter Shop, and I thought, you know, when they came in, I thought, wow, there's an interracial couple. I said, well, Lord, you've made this a city on the hill. There's a lot of churches that you go to, because we're a very multicultural family, so I know what it's like to get the looks and the stares. I know what it's like to get the people who are at the table, you know, two or three tables down, whispering, like, I wonder what that's all about, you know. And so, because we live that way. We're like a box of Crayola crayons in my family, you know. But when this couple walked in, I saw them begin to worship, and I thought, man, there's more behind this couple than meets the eye. I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit when I'm around them, and shortly got to know them and found that they were pastoring a church in the Tidewater area in Virginia. And all of a sudden, God just shifted them, and they settled down and waited on the Lord and felt the call to come here. And very quickly came in and said, Pastor, we're just here to serve, man. We want to do God's will. And so we're available to you for whatever you need for us to do. Would you give it up this morning for Billy and Stacy Collins? Amen. Come on, guys. Praise the Lord. We keep on going, we'll have more out here than we got out there, right? Praise the Lord. Several years ago, there was a gentleman who came in to this church because he was looking for some strength, some support. And Evangeline Harris had told him about Carpenter Shop International Church. And this gentleman made his way to our facility, and he got connected into a group that he needed at that time. And lo and behold, we found out that he's a preacher of the gospel. And he's a faithful man. He's always a man, again, who inspires me, encourages me, affirms me, saying positive things that I know are coming not from his head, but from his heart. Would you give it up this morning for Reverend James Gay? Come on, Pastor Gay. God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, do you see what I see? Come on, y'all. Look at there. Look at that. Give him a hand, would you? Look at that. Praise God. People who know what it's like to have that Jeremiah word, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and I ordained specific things for you, prophet to the nations. And so we thank God for all of the giftings and abilities that are in your lives. And because of you, we are able to do what we do today. You may say, well, Pastor, I don't do that much. No, you don't understand. Just to have someone who understands the call of God is a big win, because not everybody understands what it means to have the call of God on your life. And so God has graciously given us these people to be the wind in our sails so many times, just by small things that you don't even realize you're doing. Amen. Just a couple of days ago, I called Pastor Frank over there in Eden. I said, hey man, you guys want to get together for a cup of coffee somewhere in town? I got a couple of things I just wanted to bounce off of you. Man, no, you come on to my house. I'll make you a cup of coffee. Okay? Amen? And I guarantee you, he's got McDonald's beat on coffee. I promise you. All right? And so little things mean a lot. Amen? Little things mean so much. And I saw a picture many, many years ago on the bathroom wall in a facility in Hertford. And there was a picture of a teddy bear, and his leg had bursted open. And there was another little teddy bear that had slipped up there and had a needle and thread and a bag of polyfill. Come on. And he was taking polyfill and stuffing it back into the bear's leg and sewing the leg back together. And that message that spoke to my heart that day, and I thought, wow, man, thank God for other bears that come along and sew my legs up from time to time. Come on, one more time. Thank God for these guys, would you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Pastor Joy, would you please pray a prayer of number one, blessing, anointing, and provision. Blessing, anointing, and provision over their lives as they move forward, fulfilling God's call upon their lives to be the man and the woman of God that God has called them to be. Blessing, anointing, and provision.
Lord, we thank you for each pastor that's represented here at CSIC. We thank you, Lord, for their individual ministry that blesses and stirs and encourages and feeds our congregation, our community, and our region. We thank you, Lord, not only for that, but even the ones that are stretched out to the whole earth. God, we give you praise for their strength, their energy, their passion, and just the calling, Lord, that you've placed on their hearts. And Lord, oftentimes in that calling, we question ourselves, are we where we need to be? Are we doing what we need to do? And sometimes, Lord, the seasons change. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that for this season, we have them. We thank you, Lord, for this season that you're utilizing them. And Father, we pray blessing, Lord, over their lives, over their families. We pray protection over them, Father. We know, Lord, that you will continue, Father, to stir. You will continue, Lord, to grow them. You will continue, Father, to bless them with the passion, Lord, of their area that you have gifted them in, that you've called them in, and that you've given them the talents, Lord, to work through. And so, Father, we ask, Lord, not only the blessing, but, Lord, your anointing. Without your anointing, we are nothing. So, Father, today, refresh that anointing. Lord, uplift their spirit, Father, in the name of Jesus, because those times come, those hard times come. But we thank you, Lord, that you will pour upon us the warmth of your love and the warmth of your anointing to continue on even through hardships. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we bless this team today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord, dear. God bless you. 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 Well, how many of y'all ready for the Word of God today? Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, worship team, for leading us into the presence of God today. Such a joy to be with you and also to receive your kindness. And as I said, as we travel down the road today, reading those notes, I promise you, we just cherish those things. And it means a great deal for us, and we're just excited about what God is doing in this day and in this hour. Praise the Lord. Israel and end time truths. Israel and end time truths. What an exciting service last Sunday. As people came to faith in Jesus Christ, I think 9 individuals last Sunday made decisions of faith. Some were rededications. But that's an incredible thing. While I don't like to use a Sunday morning pulpit as primarily just a teaching setting, I like to teach, but I like to preach as well. So I don't like to use it just for teaching, but we were able to proclaim Jesus as the Jewish Messiah. Amen. And while I've tried to give to you at least current information that is important in light of what's going on in the earth today, and it seems like it changes. I mean, just last Sunday, I'll make a statement or two today that last Sunday I couldn't have made. But things are escalating, guys. Things are moving forward. And so we had the opportunity last week to talk about Israel and end time truths. But we also had the opportunity to see this, Mark 16, verse 15 to 18. He said unto them, go into all the world and proclaim and preach the good news, the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. That's salvation. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. In verse 17, and these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They'll drive out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They'll pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. And they'll place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. When you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you preach the Bible, look for miracles, look for signs, look for wonders. And so we experienced that last week, even in the midst of this series. I prayed, you know, I said, Lord, don't let this just be an informational session. Let it be an inspirational session. That's my prayer today. When we preach the gospel, we see people get saved. We see people get healed. Some are delivered and some are filled. And even in the series, Israel and End Time Truths, God can still move. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, mighty and strong, we come before you today with continued gratitude, God, for what you have done, but not only that, but what you're going to do. I pray for that person today that is in the valley of decision concerning their relationship with you. And I pray that today would be an important day, a day of salvation, a day of sealing the deal, God, with you, that I'm a part of your kingdom. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Every time I preach a series like this, I'm very guilty of overlapping. I will say things today that, well, he said that last week. It's not because I've forgotten. I am older now. But it's not because I've forgotten. It's because I'm intentional. Somebody say intentional. So I overlap, because literally what's happening when you overlap, you build strength. It's a tapestry. God's word is a tapestry for you. So I'm going to say some things. You say, well, he said that last week. Well, I meant to, and I mean to say it today. This war is a war between good and evil. I want you to understand that. It's a war between good and evil. And while I said earlier in messages that this is not a war about land, what we've seen in the last several days is for that subject to surface. Now it's good and evil when it started, but now we're talking about people and properties, okay? So that's come out. How many of you know when you get in an argument, you start to pull other stuff out other than what you were arguing about to start with? Come on. Come on, punch your wife or punch your husband and say, now you know what he's talking about, don't you? Okay? Because as we begin to have conflict, other stuff comes out, okay? And so a war of good and evil, yes, it's Israel versus Hamas. It is a spiritual war. When you boil it all down, you could boil it down to say this is an argument between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Islam. That's what it is. It's out there. Genesis chapter 6, verse 11 in the King James. I've read this several times in the last few weeks. The earth was also corrupt in the Noah day. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Violence in the Hebrew is none other than what? Hamas. So it's in the Bible. It's in the book. We're in this world today characterized by behavior such as it was in the days of Noah. That word Hamas is before us on our televisions every day. An Islamic resistance movement. Islamic resistance movement that literally hates Israel. They hate them. Why? Because Israel brought to us God's plan, the plan of Almighty God. It was Christ, the Jewish Messiah. It was Christ who was born in Israel. It was Christ who died in Israel. It was Christ who was buried in Israel. It was Christ who was resurrected in Israel. It was Christ who one day will return to Israel. He's not coming to LA or Chicago. He's coming to Israel. Okay? Israel gave us the message, and they gave us the Messiah. Two very vital things. That's why the target is on this tiny nation. That's why the target is there. The ideas are promoted on social media and college campuses today that are literally going crazy. Even yesterday in the White House, knowing President Biden is not even there. He's on the coast up there in the Maryland area. He's not here. but multiplied thousands of people stormed the gates and berated the gates by painting on them. And Palestinians in the streets arguing and yelling and screaming, just in revolt against the president, and he's not even in the building. Okay? Thousands of people gathered. The ideas are propagated on television today about calling for support for the Palestinians. And I'll say some statements today to some of you, say, well, you know, I don't know if that's true or not. I'm going to biblically back up what I say, okay? Because I don't want to just be giving you opinion. This is not my opinion. This is based upon the Word of God. Listen, the whole issue is that they're accusing Israel of occupying land that's not theirs. Who wants that land? The Palestinians. Okay? Some of you scratch your head and say, well, who are the Palestinians? Come on, help me here. How many of you just really not sure what it means when you say a Palestinian? Okay? Number of you, not really sure. Okay? When you leave here today, hopefully you have a better understanding. Listen, Israel, the Israeli people, the Jewish people, are not just occupying land that does not belong to them. It belongs to them. Israel is legitimately living on a land that is theirs. What I want you to leave here today understanding is the biblical truth about Israel and the biblical truth about the Jews. And I want you to understand thoroughly, hear me here, that this is a fake role that the Palestinians are playing. And we've got college campuses all over America, young people in the streets, your age, guys, millennials that are out there, some of them are holding up things and they're shouting and hollering, and they don't know what they're even shouting and hollering about. They just jumped on the next bus to Washington or Atlanta or wherever they're doing their little thing. Okay? They don't really know what they're talking about. They don't have a clue. This generation today is propagating a false narrative about the war, about Israel and about Palestinians. The Jews are not just a people, here we go, who are occupying a land, that they are indigenous people to this land, okay? It's their land. That means that God, here we go, gave them this land. Come on, say he gave it to them. He gave them this land. They have the title deed to this land. They have full rights to this real estate. How many of you own your property? How many of you, maybe the bank still has partnership with you. You hadn't paid the mortgage off completely yet, but you're buying your house. You own the land. The lawyer wrote the deed up, and your name is on it. How many of y'all got property like that? Look at that. How would you like for somebody to roll up to your crib today and just come out with a bunch of machine guns or whatever and drive you off your property, occupy, take everything that they could for spoils, and then claim that it's not your property, it's my property? How many of you would like for that to happen? What would you do? You'd go get your gun, wouldn't you? Come on, you better get your tail off my property. Some of you have signs in the yard that say private what? Property. Why? Because you own the property. You've got the title work done, the deed work done. You're paying the mortgage. Maybe it's already paid off. If so, glory to God. But you wouldn't want anybody to come up and kick you off of what is rightfully yours. That is what has precisely happened, here we go, to Israel. That's precisely happened to Israel all of these years. Jews were in Israel 2,100 years before the word Palestinian was ever uttered from anybody's lips. Let me say that one more time. Jews were in Israel on their land 2,100 years before the word Palestinian was ever uttered from anybody's lips, before it was ever spoken. Better yet, Jews lived in that land, here we go, before Islam was even a religion. Okay? They were there when Muhammad established the Islamic faith. Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, was 40 years old in the year 610 or the 7th century, I think it would be good here to remind everybody that how do we date ourselves? How do we say, oh, it happened in such and such a year? You know how we do that? We do that with the very birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We either say it's B.C., before Christ, or it's Anno Domini, the year of our what? The year of our Lord. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. Come on, Bethlehem. We use Jesus' birth to mark time. And so I'm telling you, this is a messed up thing. Muhammad the prophet, listen, he was 40 years old, and he didn't even begin Islam until long after Christ. Okay? Islam is proclaimed by Muhammad, who was born 600 years after Jesus Christ was born. If you don't even want to embrace the biblical truths, then there's a couple of archaeological findings in the Holy Land that guides can take you to and show you. Archaeological findings that have nothing to do with a prophetic fulfillment or a scripture, just archaeologically, that a huge stone in the earth that bears the name of David, King David, who placed it on his land. Okay? And so you need to understand something. God is in control, and he gave this property. The Babylonians, they come in at 586 BC under the leadership of King Nebuchadnezzar. And what they do is they drive out the Jews from their land. They disperse the Jews, and we end up in church history, we end up with what's called the diaspora. The diaspora is the dispersion of Jewish people all over the earth. They run the Jews off of their property. The Babylonians did this. The diaspora, they were killed in their own homeland. They were forced to flee their homeland. They were scattered all over the earth in other countries. And they were killed simply. Why did they kill them? Because they were Jews. Okay? I saw a documentary just this week on a college campus where one Jewish young man was cornered by 8 or 10 others and was humiliated simply because he was a Jew. That's crazy. I never thought this would happen again. I thought the days of the Holocaust were over. 6 million Jews killed. I thought the days of Holocaust were long behind us and would never surface again. But sadly today, people are still anti-Semitic. That means you're against the Jews. Look at our younger generations on these campuses just flocking to location after location, waving the banners, screaming things that they don't even know what they're screaming, still attacking God's chosen people. Some of them stayed in their homeland. Some of the Jews did. Some of them stayed in their homeland, but they've always been dominated by other nations. It was the Babylonians first, 586 BC, followed by the Persians. Who's the Persians today? Guess what? Iran, okay? That's the Persian people. Persia was always called Persia till just not too many years ago. The name changed from Persia to Iran, followed by persecution by the Greeks, then by the Romans, then the Byzantines. And if you go to Israel, as you look at specific sites, you can see where each empire came and built on top of the previous empire who overtook the Jewish people, the Byzantines, followed by the Arab Islamic Empire, followed by Catholic Crusaders, followed by the Mamelukes and the Ottomans or the Turkish people, and then followed by the British Empire. It was a 2,500-year run on the domination of Israel where people and nations came in and drove Israel out of her land and tried to take that land from them until finally, 2,500 years later, 2,500 years later, Israel becomes a nation. 1948. There's some people in this room that were alive in 1948. Okay? Israel became a nation in 1948. That's an amazing accomplishment. Look at Isaiah 66, verses 8 to 10. Has anyone ever heard of such a thing? The prophet asked. He's prophesying now. Listen to this. Has anyone ever heard of such a thing? Has anyone ever seen anything like this? A country born in a day? A nation born in a flash? But Zion, Jerusalem here, was barely in labor when she had her babies. Do I open the womb and not deliver the baby? Do I, the one who delivers babies, shut the womb? And then he says, rejoice. And he speaks to who? Jerusalem. Rejoice, Jerusalem, and rejoice to all who love her. Celebrate. And all of you who have shed tears over her, join in the happy singing. Why? Because in 1948, he says, you will become a nation. This was a prophecy by Isaiah. And it came to pass that we see now Israel is, in fact, a legal state. I love that classic passage in the book of Ezekiel. And for all of you preachers here, I know you can agree with me here. You've heard this passage preached, and they just ascribed whatever context they wanted to it. Dry bones is the title of my message, and they preach all kinds of stuff. Well, I'm preaching to you this morning on dry bones, and it has nothing to do with what it's supposed to be talking about. But just hear the words. Just hear the words freshly today from Ezekiel the prophet. Chapter 37, I'm going to read verses 4 to 14. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones. What are the bones? Here's what the bones are. The bones are the Jewish people who have been what? Scattered all over the valley or the earth. They're lifeless. Life has been stolen from them. They are the Jewish people. He says, prophesy to them. Say this to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter into you, and you'll come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, Ezekiel said, as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. Bones came together, bone to bone. Verse 8, look, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come, breath. Come from where? From the four corners of the earth. Come from the four winds and breathe into these that have been what? Slain, that they might, the Jewish people, might indeed live again. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet. Then he describes him not as a scattered bunch of bones, but a what? A vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are who? He tells you in the Bible, these bones are the people of Israel. Come on, give the Lord praise today. These bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up. They say our hope is gone. They say we are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people Israel, I am going to open your graves. I'm going to bring you up from them. I'm going to bring you back where? To the land of Israel. Then you, my people Israel, you will know that I'm the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. And I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. And I will, here we go, settle you. I will settle you in your own land, the land that the Lord gave them. I will settle you there. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. 1948, the prophecy of Ezekiel has come to pass. God has put Israel back in her homeland. God did what he said he would do. He brought them together back to their homeland, and Israel became a nation on May the 14th, 1948. Very first prime minister, a man by the name of David Ben-Gurion. If you've had the privilege of going to Israel, you landed in the airport, what's it called? The Ben-Gurion International Airport. First prime minister of the nation Israel, okay? God's done what he said he would do, and rightfully so. Listen, get this, this land belongs to the Jews. Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. On the same day, the Lord God made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, I have given this land. You have the title deed to it. This is your real estate. From the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. If you study that map, if you figure it out, yes, maps in a Bible do have purpose, okay? I know you've never really done anything but look at them. But if you were to look on this particular description, the surveyor has done his work. Over 300,000 square miles belongs to the descendants of Abraham. Today they occupy 8,130 square miles in a little spot of land no bigger than the state of New Jersey. So then, Pastor, help me here. Where did this whole idea of Palestinian come into play? Well, I'm glad you asked. It was Hadrian. The year was 135 AD. Hadrian was the Roman emperor who ran the Jews out from their land. Remember, I gave you the list of all the people who had attacked Jerusalem. He ran them out of their land, and he renamed the region Palestina. It was a Latin term. And he did that because Palestina is a translation of the word Philistines, who were always an enemy of Israel. How many remember a little boy named David who slayed a giant? Where was he from? The Philistines. Okay? So he renamed it Palestina. Hadrian did that to dishonor the Jews. And from that time, from 135 AD all the way up to 1948, Israel was called Palestine. All those years. It wasn't Israel. Oh, that's Palestine. That's the biblical land of Palestine. All the way up to 1948. In fact, even if you were Jewish and you're born there, you have a child, when you go get a birth certificate, what does it say? You are born in the nation Palestina. There are Jews today with birth certificates that does not say that they were born in Israel. It says they were born in Palestine. They're Jews. But before they were born, before 1948, so their birth certificate says Palestina. This is a false name. It's a false name. Should have never existed. Because Hadrian did this out of spite. He ripped off the people, took their land, and renamed the whole area. The Bible declares the truth. The Bible declares that this land is the property of the Jews. It is the land of Israel. It is the home of the message. It is the home of the Messiah. And the enemy, the devil, has consistently incited hatred and violence and destruction against God's people. And you know what? It's not over, guys. I'm looking as I go week after week, and I thought, wow, I heard news yesterday. I thought, Lord, I can't believe this. I'm coming up on my next message here, and I begin to talk about in the next message the convergence of other nations. On national television yesterday, Putin and Russia spoke, and you know what they said? We stand with Hamas. Just that statement alone has deep prophetic insight in the scriptures. Just that statement alone. We stand with Hamas. Okay? That means that every day the page turns and we get closer and closer and closer. But can I remind you of some truth? God's not slack concerning his promises. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are what? Yes and amen in Christ Jesus. God has his hand on that little apple of his eye, Israel. God has his hand on the Jewish people. You can paint walls. You can blow up bombs. You can destroy buildings. God has his hand on his people, and he's going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. Amen. God's hand is on them. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my church, make no mistake, Carpenter Shop International Church stands wholeheartedly with the Jewish people. We stand wholeheartedly with Israel, because he who blesses Israel, come on somebody, will himself be blessed. He who curses Israel, watch out, shall himself be cursed. We're going to stand for this little spot of the world because that's what God wants us to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, some of you say, well, you know, that was a good message, but it don't have anything to do with me. Oh, yes, it does. It has a lot to do with you. Can I just ask you something? How many of you here today, you've received some promise, and the enemy has fought you and tried his best to break the reality of that promise becoming fulfilled? It might be a marriage. It might be seeing your kids saved. It might be one day having a house of your own and stop paying rent to somebody else. It's some sort of promise, hear me, church, that God has spoken to you. And you're going to stand firm on that promise and say, God, I'm going to trust you no matter what. That applies to you. Amen. Some of you are believing God for incredible things that may not have come to pass yet, but it is coming to pass. I want you to stand with me this morning as we come to a close. Make no mistake about it, we stand for the nation of Israel. We fully believe and declare that no matter what happens, you can say, man, you know, when you're watching the news, you say, good gracious, man. I mean, I get up every morning, the first thing I do is turn the TV on and say, hey, let me see what happened last night. And you know, I can't take but just a few minutes of it. But then I realize that with every passing day, it becomes more serious and more serious. The Bible gives us a list, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, of nations that will rise up and join in with Hamas and do their dead level best to stand with them to bring destruction to the people of God. My role is to support Israel. My role is to stand with Israel. We pray for her every day. And every chance I have to give something to Israel, I give something to her. Some of you may see a QR code. Hey, would you like to help? The Fellowship of Christians and Jews are running ads every day for $40. Hit the QR code. $40. You can't handle $40 just to feed some people who need to be fed. You don't have to worry about this organization, the Fellowship of Christians and Jews. A valid organization that can be trusted. What are they doing with my $40? They're feeding the Israeli people. That's what they're doing. They will fulfill their promises. So if you ask me, Pastor, is it okay to support it? Absolutely. Absolutely. We stand with Israel. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, the message today has spoken to me about principle. Here's the principle. Don't miss this. Here's the principle. God gave you something. Are you with me? God gave you something. It might be the promise from the Philippian jail. I'll save your what? Your household. But I still got a son out there who's not come into the fold yet. I still got a daughter out there who's wandering, and I pray for her all the time, and she's not come in yet. God's given you precious promises, and the enemy has tried to wreak havoc on your life and convince you that your promise will never come to pass. This message applies to you. So I'm going to ask you, ministers, come, please. Come back this morning and just stand across this front. Just stand across this front. Stretch out across this front. I'm going to ask you right quickly, is there anyone in the building today? Come on, be bold about this. Anyone in this building today, you'd say, Pastor, pray for me. Because I just want to make certain that I am on the right track, that my soul is prepared to meet the Lord Jesus. I want to settle it today. I want to settle it today. If you're not happy with where you are in your relationship with Christ right now, let me see your hand real quickly. Come on, God bless you. God bless you. Are there others? Just God bless you. Come on. Slip out of your seat. Come on, don't waste any time. Just come to one of these. Slip out of your seat right where you are and come. Make sure, that's right. Just make sure. Now, if you're here also and you know that there are precious promises that God has given to you, and yet you haven't seen them come to pass. Maybe the child's not serving the Lord. Maybe you wanted a house and you believe God was going to give you a house and you're still just in bondage to paying rent. I lived like that for years. I lived and the devil would convince me, you can't handle a house. You don't deserve a house. You just keep on living in a parsonage, or you can't own your own house. That's a lie. God's given you a promise, and you feel like the enemy is trying to destroy that promise. Step out of your seat. You may have to stand in line for just a moment. but they will get to you, okay? Come on, sing it, Brittany.
Your name is healing. Your name is love. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to speak the name. Jesus, over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your Your name.
Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy.
Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name.
Jesus, oh, shout Jesus from,
shout Jesus from the mountains.
Jesus,
Jesus in the street.
Not to give you a fire hose. You know, you need to, how many of y'all remember what it's like to turn the hose on in the yard? Just get you a sip. I don't want to overwhelm you with far, far too much information. So I've been trying to say, okay, God, give me just a bite-sized nugget here. And the bite-sized nugget this week is, listen, God has given promise, okay? And so many times we're guilty of getting in the way like Abraham did. You know, Abraham's a wonderful man. He's a wonderful man. But he didn't do it all God's way, okay? And for that reason, we have this battle today. But here's the reality. When you know because you know because you know that precious promises are yours because they're in the book, okay? Then it is your right. Somebody say right. It is your right to claim those promises. And the message to you today is don't let any group, don't let any person, don't let any spirit, here we go, don't let anything manifest to get in the way and steal your promises. Take authority. Oh, Israel, we want you to just be a little quiet. Why don't you consider a pause? Why don't you consider a ceasefire? Thank you, Netanyahu. No, we're not stopping until Hamas is defeated. Okay? Go ahead on. Which means that other enemies will raise their head. Read the book. Other enemies will raise their head. So it's not over, and it won't be over in a while. It's going to be a long battle. But every day, please pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Every day, Lord, watch over the IDF, the Israel Defense Forces. Watch over them. Because God's already spoke on how this is going to end. Okay? We've got awaiting alliances raised up. We are so ripe for rapture. Rapture, tribulation, battle of Armageddon, 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. Okay? There's so much ahead of us. And much of it you won't be a part of, okay? You're not going to be a part of it. But the world awaits it. Well, Pastor, I really don't understand. Text me, call me, I'll help you with as much as I know. I'll do the best I can to lead you according to only what I know based on this word. You may call me and ask me questions. I say, well, listen, I'm going to tell you what I believe, okay? But the things that I know because I know based on this book, I will tell you, okay? God, help us not to use the pulpit as a means of preaching our own ideas. Because what I said this morning goes against the grain of so many. Oh, pitiful Palestinians. Yeah. I can understand and have compassion and mercy. It is pitiful. But this crowd that is trying to rise up and fight all in the name of their God. You know what they called America this week on worldwide television? The Great Satan. That's what we are. How many of y'all heard that? America's the Great Satan. And that's Islamic teaching. And pray for America too. Because our government said to America this week, hey, we need to learn how to deal with Islamophobia. No, we need to learn how to deal with anti-Semitism. That's what we need to deal with. Okay? And listen, just because someone is from the descendant line of Ishmael, I don't hate them. I don't hate them. God loves Arabs, friends. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for Arabs too. So we don't rise up in frustration and hate them, because that's not God either. I've been on many a Israel trip. Pastor Mike can tell you, he's been too, where we had an absolutely marvelous Islamic driver driving us around. Kindest people you'd ever meet. Doesn't mean that all of them are what you're seeing on television. They're not. Okay? They're not. Makes no sense, but here's what we have. Get on a bus, got a Jewish guide, a Muslim driver, and a bunch of Christians riding around to see the land. And guess what? It was a peaceful time. Okay? There's only one Lord, and what's his name? He's coming back with it on his thigh. King of kings and Lord of lords, okay? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, mighty and strong, today we come before you with gratitude. Thank you, Lord, for the moving of your spirit around these altars. Thank you for the decisions to embrace faith in Christ today, to renew faith in Christ today. Thank you for the ability to lay our needs before you, precious promises that you've given that the enemy is trying to steal. I speak the blessing of God upon your people today as they depart from this place. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Come on, give him praise one more time. Hallelujah.